Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I am back from my garden tour of the Best of English Gardens and the Chelsea Flower Show. And then we had Memorial Day in just this last weekend. So I am ready to get back and get started on your questions. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. Super glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. I know you guys did a great job. But tell me, how was your week?
It was amazing. We actually snuck up to New England for about 6 days because one of my younger nieces was having a baby shower. And so we went up there, surprised all the relatives. They were all shocked when we pulled into each individual driveway. They were just like, who's here from New Hampshire? Because obviously we had to rent a vehicle. And I'm just like, no, it's me. And they're like, yay. And Brooke went with me. So they were so happy to see her.
Oh, that's great. And the weather was good for you?
No, it was obnoxiously cold for 4 out of the 6 days. It was in the 40s. Then it rained on me, and I thought I was being stabbed by little, you know, angels of ice. But it was just rain, and I had to buy 3 hoodies. And not my time of year.
Well, I am glad you got to go up and see family. That's always a special time. I'd love to give a big, very big, heartfelt thanks to Tom McCubbin, who filled in. He is Better Lawns and Gardens host emeritus. And you and he did a wonderful job.
I
listened to the show and he with Jim. And thank you to Jim Allison and then also to Randy Schultz. It was fun listening to it. And I felt like I was just, I'm back in the old days. And, you know, I never missed Better Lawns and Gardens when Tom was on. So it was a lot of fun. I just have to say I had a once-in-a-lifetime garden tour of the Best of English Gardens, and my daughter, Teresa Jean, went along with my husband, and we had about 20 other garden aficionados. They love to geek out at gardens and take photographs, and it was just a wonderful time. King Charles III being coronated, all the festivities and decorations were still up. And these gardens we walked through, I walked like 2.5 to 3 miles every day.
Ooh.
And just through beautiful, beautiful gardens and estates. But going to England in May is a little tricky. It usually rains every few days. And when we looked at the weather before we left, it was showing that there would be 8 to 9 days of rain during our 11-day stay.
Ew.
And we're going, okay, well, it is what it is, and it'll make, you know, the grass greener, and it'll look beautiful in the photographs. But when we got there, we brought our Florida sunshine with us, and we did not have one single day of rain.
Oh, wow.
And so that's very unusual, but it was wonderful. The temperatures were in the 40s in the morning, which we loved. We could put our sweaters on, and we did carry sweaters with us. And it only got into the low 60s to mid 60s during the day. And it couldn't have been better weather for touring gardens and taking photographs. Meanwhile, back in Orlando, excuse me, I came back with a little cold. We almost caught up with our rain deficit in just 2 weeks. Jim, who was just on with Tom McCubbin, reported that he had 36 one-hundredths of an inch of rain for Tuesday, which put him at 3.75 inches for May. And so that is a great total. His cucumbers, zucchini, and yellow squash are coming in, as are the tomatoes, the early girls, and Parks Whoppers. Bell peppers are running a close behind. And he said the early girls are really tasty and a great sized tomato. And I agree, the early girls are a great tomato variety if you're looking for some. He also said he had Romas and cherries that are getting close. And so where we came back, we had tomatoes and peppers growing, and it all just looks great. So I'm very excited. And I'm going to be describing my Best of English Garden and Chelsea Flower shows in the second hour. You're not going to want to miss it. But you can go onto our Facebook page, and you can see the first of my batch of 3,000 photographs. Now, I'm not going to post 3,000 photographs, but that's how many I took.
Well, you've done a really good job. I was loving every bit of those photos that you posted so far.
Yep. Well, thank you. It's just one of I just gave you just a glimpse of what we got to to visit, and we visited, you know, public gardens, botanical gardens like Wisley and Sissinghurst, but then also too, we got to go into very private estates that are, you know, gardens that are 50 to 100 years old. And it was just amazing. Got lots of great ideas. And I think that, you know, I'll be posting the rest of the photographs over the next week or so. I took over 3,000. So I'm going
through,
I'm culling.
That's it. That's all you took, 3,000.
And I took some, you know, individual single flowers for, again, my articles and for my writing. And then also to just landscape pictures so that you can see what it looks like. Also, too, in Family Handyman, you can go on and see my articles. They just posted another one last month, and I will be posting that, too, as well as on Facebook. And then, Lizzie, you got What to Do in the Month of June up.
Mm-hmm.
And the my Teresa Design Tips is creating a beach view octopus garden.
It's really pretty.
Yeah. So it's just, it's how, if you'd like to have a beach front yard, even if you're in the central part of the state, you can have it just with the plants you select and the accoutrements. And so I've got that up for you. And what to do this month in your landscape. There's lots of things to do and some things not to do. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. One of the highlights of our garden tour in England was being able to see firsthand many sustainable practices of organic farming. And King Charles III, he is a big proponent of organic farming and has been for decades. Even before it was even popular, he understood the importance of it. And at his private estate, Highgrove, it is all maintained organically. So with us right now is Dana Venrick. He is our organic expert, quality green specialist, nursery owner, and sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great, trying to get back into work mode and into all the good things that I'm getting involved with right now. So, Dana, rainfall. Have we caught up on our deficit? How much rainfall have you gotten over the past few weeks?
Well, we've been very lucky. For example, it rained day before yesterday evening, and it didn't rain any here at the house in DeBerry, but it gave a nice rain there in DeLand. It's still spotty, but it's going to get more focus, you know, after a few weeks here.
Yeah,
June is when the summer rains come every year, so we're going to have a lot of rain coming soon.
It is, you know, we got 3 to 4 inches last week here in Orlando. So that's quite a bit. So now citrus, I wanted to talk about citrus today because it's the time of the year citrus trees are putting on fruit and it's important to maintain them on a regular basis. So what kind of maintenance should citrus owners be doing right now on their trees?
Well, citrus trees are being, you know, sort of difficult to raise because of the citrus greening disease. And so you have to maintain, you know, your fertilizer program. You need to spray them regularly with a good nutritional. Like, I spent years developing the product we call CitraThrive Plus. It's got a 4-10-10 analysis, but it's also got 3 surfactants penetrants within the liquid fertilizer, so it'll penetrate right through that clogging that's a response to that citrus greening disease. We've had great success with the first year of spraying that monthly, spring to fall, and after that you can cut back every other month. They maintain the tree health. But we've recovered groves like, for example, Forrest Gallahan's grove. He was ready to give up 3 years ago over in Lake Helen. Now he has a beautiful grove, even with the Hamlin oranges, which are the most difficult to get recovery. And so you do have to keep at it, though. You can't just, fertilize like you did in the past with just some granular fertilizer. It has to be good fertilizer. We use good fertilizer three times a year, like early, like February. Again, like this time of year, May or June. And you can use, fertilizer that's got phosphorus and nitrogen on fruit trees because they need that higher requirement. And then again in the fall, a lighter application like in the fall, plus the spray, the liquid spray. We even put some of the liquid around the drip line after we spray the tree.
Okay, so
we get recovery.
So I really want to emphasize this. You not only recommend, and the University of Florida recommends, not only putting down granular fertilizer on a regular basis according to the label, but also to spray the leaves and do a foliar spray. Okay.
A foliar spray is very, very important, so you get that nutrition that is being limited by the root damage caused by the greening. And then you get recovery after a while. You have to have a little patience, but it works. And we use things in the liquid fertilizer that Mother Nature would work with, like seaweed. Seaweed is included. We included bioavailable forms of carbon that's humic, and particularly fulvic acid. Over 58% of the carbon in the spray is the bioavailable fulvic acid, just like Mother Nature, works in breaking down soils and organic matter in the soil.
So does it matter if it's a lime tree or a tangerine tree or a navel tree? They all need the same nutrition?
They all need it. You don't have to be as dedicated or as diligent on a sugar bell tree. We have that now from tissue culture, but that's a variety that was crossed between a clementine mandarin and a Mineola tangula, which is also called honeybell. But that cross is resistant to greening, and so we have a good selection of those at the nursery now. And we have other varieties that are pretty hardy and pretty resistant, easy to maintain the health, like the Valencia orange. You could pick as late as June this time of year. Also, early oranges like Hamlin's in mid-season, oranges, particularly the mandarins, are very resistant, like the Mineola tangula or the Dancy tangerine, those types of mandarins.
The University of Florida has really developed a whole science production of the citrus so that we understand which ones are resistant and which ones will, to get it more easier, the disease more easier.
Yes, that's very important. Use a good variety with good rootstock. And all those are coming online more and more now, more very hardy, resistant varieties.
What size of citrus do you recommend putting in the ground?
Well, put one in, that's grafted, that's a couple of years old, it's got a nice stem, a nice straight trunk with a clean bud union, and it's got some multiple branching at the top. So you've got a good start. And we have all sizes, from like 3 gallon up to 30 gallon. And even we have a few 45 gallon trees. So you want to make sure you get a good, healthy tree to start with, at least in a 3 gallon or 5 gallon. I'd recommend actually at least a 5 gallon.
Yeah,
I have a good start.
I remember back in the 60s and 70s driving by an orange grove and seeing these 2 foot to, just under 2.5 feet tall citrus with fruit on them. And they were just hanging with fruit, even when they were small. So do you recommend pulling off the fruit the first couple of years?
The first year, definitely. You want to grow that canopy so it'll support fruit. You can leave several the second year so you can enjoy a little bit of delicious fruit. But after that, after the second year, you can leave all of them on, all the ones that stick on the tree. And by the way, only about 3% of all the fruit that develop on the tree actually are held on the tree. The rest drop. So if you have a lot of fruit drop, it's just Mother Nature at work.
She's saying she can't handle it.
Have like some on the tree.
Exactly. So leaf dropping is normal.
It is some leaf dropping. A lot of fruit dropping is normal, but you want to really do things like early in the year. Make sure every year you put a little phosphorus, either bone meal, which we prefer with the trace minerals and slow release, or superphosphate, because it's the only time of year you have a high demand for phosphorus, particularly for citrus. You want to do that. And also make sure you put borax. The only time of year you have a high demand for boron, which is used at a very low rate by the tree, is early springtime in the flush. And so that's important to keep in mind, those two things. You want to make sure you do that at least once a year.
So now I know homeowners and even some clients that they think that putting down just a couple of cups of fertilizer around the base of the tree is enough. How do homeowners know exactly how much fertilizer their citrus tree will need?
Well, a simple guide is to say, well, 1 inch of fertilizer per application, per inch, 1 pound of fertilizer per 1 inch of trunk diameter. And then you can do that 3 times a year. Make sure you start a foot or two out of the drip line or just inside the drip line and go out twice the diameter width of the tree or twice the canopy width of the tree. So you make sure you get all those feeder roots. And so it's a common error, you know, to put too much fertilizer too close to the tree. You want to spread it uniformly out so you cover the drip line and beyond to get all those feeder roots.
And so that's 1 pound per inch. And is there a limit that the tree needs? Does it go up, or do you just keep putting down 1 pound and the tree keeps growing? And
oh, no. There's a limit. That is very important. You know, it's like anything else. Don't go over, I would say, 6 pounds, even on a big tree per application. And make sure you spread it out, because any tree has a limit on what it can absorb, what the microbial life in the soil can transform into ionic form the roots actually take up. And so I'm working on a book, as a matter of fact, to explain how Mother Nature works to make all these minerals, except for boron, make it available to the tree in ionic form, either cations or anions, positive or negative charged molecules in the soil, how it becomes available to the tree, and how you can grow a garden much better if you really focus on feeding the microbial life in the soil, the mineralizing bacteria, all the things like the fungi, the actinomycetes, and so forth.
A healthy soil.
Worms that make it all happen for you in the garden.
That's right. So, Dana, we're just coming up on the a hard break. Is summer a good time to be planting trees?
Absolutely. Just make sure that it's a hardy tree, it's in a container. I wouldn't recommend any bare root planting, but if you plant in a container and water every other day for a couple of weeks, and then start cutting back, wean that tree back twice a week through the summer, then you can have great success. Don't plant it too deeply. Make sure you see that topmost root at the surface. So that's a common thing that causes a tree to be stunted. Do not put soil above that first lateral root.
There you go. So, Dana, real quick, what is your website and where are you located in beautiful DeLand?
It's qualitygreenspecialist.com. We're at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand, just northwest of downtown. It's within walking distance, in fact, of downtown DeLand, a beautiful downtown, as you know.
There you go. Thank you so much, Dana, for coming on. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. That's Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialists in downtown DeLand. And it's time for your gardening questions now. Lizzie's going to put you on the board if you call in 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23689 and let me know that what you're drinking this morning. Are you having a proper cup of tea? Or you're having coffee or even a Coke? I know that's popular in some places. So it's a perfect time to call 1-888-455-2967. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you miss any of today's show, you can listen wherever you hear podcasts. I'm going to post links on our Facebook page and you can catch up on it. You can also see the photographs of the start of my garden tour and where I visited several different gardens.
Yes.
And so
really nice.
Oh, goodness, it was. And so, but it's now it's your turn. If you have a gardening question, you can call Lizzie at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning, my gardening queen. How are you?
I am great. It's good to hear your voice. And I can just say I missed you.
I have missed you. My gosh, don't leave again.
Well, I won't unless I take you with me. So,
please.
So, what's going on in your world today?
Okay. I lost my book that I've had for years. I've misplaced it.
Okay.
You know, I have all my little notes in there.
Uh huh.
Okay. My lilies that I have in all over the place.
Amaryllis or lilies?
Lilies.
Okay.
When they drop their flowers, okay, do they rebloom?
When they drop their flowers, these are daylilies, right, that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Daylilies will send up more blooms. Now, it just depends on the variety. Some of them have just one, you know, set season where they just like 3 to 4 weeks and they will bloom. And then there's others that will bloom sporadically after the major blooming in the springtime. So it just depends on what you have. Do you know what you have?
I have the ones that rebloom.
Okay, so because they come back and you'll get 3 or 4 blooms after.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I have those. Okay. Now, I bought 2 African violets from a big box store, and they're in small plastic containers.
Okay.
I need to repot them. Do I not?
Yes, you do. They need to have good drainage.
Okay.
And so you just want, now you could just poke holes in the bottom of the plastic pot and let them go for a little while. Or you can put them in, there's African violet pots you can get that have the holes in them. Because you water African violets from the root ball. You don't pour water over them. And I'm sure you know
that. Right.
So, yeah. Right. So, but I like the beautiful African violet pots. They're gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, I tried to find them. And nobody had them.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are in Polk City. So, you know, you can find them online. I will say that. But I would try a couple of the local nurseries and ask them when they come in. So sometimes, especially with all the economy and issues going on, they may not bring them in as frequently or just once a year. So I would just, you know, contact a nursery and say, when do you usually bring them in? And it usually is springtime right before Mother's Day. Easter time is also a time when you can bring them in. And so find out from your local nurseries when they bring them in. Or, like I said, you can order them online.
Well, that's a long time.
It is. It is.
Patience is a virtue.
That's right, Lizzie.
A really long time.
But that's what I'm saying. You can get them immediately by going online and you know, ordering them. And they're not too expensive if you order through some of the, you know, the major websites.
Right. And we did not drill a hole in the bird bath.
You didn't?
No, I did not. I got a large hook, and I have a plant hanging above the bird bath.
Okay.
So I did it that way.
That works.
Instead of drilling.
That works. That works for me. So, well, that's great. Did you get a lot of rain the last few weeks?
Oh, my gosh. We are flooded.
Are you?
The side of our yard, we have waterfront property. And then yesterday, it pounded all day long. I had to carry my dog out and make her go potty. And then I had to take a great big towel. She's only 11 pounds. I had to take a great big towel and dry her off. She was so miserable. And here I am, I'm soaking wet, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you know, you're miserable. Look at me.
There you go. You're a great pet parent, Eileen. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're listening too. I missed you too as well. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Fine, Teresa. How are you?
I am good. Thank you.
I have a question, a couple questions. Well, first one is Dana had a foliar spray or a fertilizer or nutrients for citrus trees.
Yes.
And I was wondering what that was.
Okay. Well, he has his own products at his quality nursery. So if you can, let me just see here. Hold on just a second. Thank you so much. I will send you the name, and I will also announce it again on the air. And so I'll announce it
thank
on
you.
The air. All right. And you had a pepper question?
Oh, yes. I came across these peppers, formerly known as by Quinho, B-I-Q-U-I-N-H-O.
Yes.
Peppers, they're little beach peppers or sweetie drops, and they're in some restaurants. On there, and they're supposed to be mild, and I was wondering if they grow here. There are how many 1,000 Scoville units?
Yes, they do. They do grow here, Binquo, and if you can get them, the seeds you can find online, but also too, if you're eating them in a restaurant, if you will save the seeds, you know, if they come whole, you could take the seeds that you are eating of the pepper. And you can dry those out, and they will germinate and grow you another pepper.
Oh, even the ones that were pickled, that's what's in the restaurant here. They're pickled.
Well, if they're pickled, I don't know. I would try it. I don't know if they'll germinate, but I think they might still. Just depends. Are they whole, or if they've been, the seeds have been taken out of them already?
Yeah, the little peppers are whole, and they seem to be real good, but it could be fooling me too because of the pickling.
That's true.
Whatever they're doing, but anyhow, the write up was good, but I couldn't find out if there was anything for information on Florida. Apparently, you're familiar with them, and they will grow here.
Yep.
So I'm going to give them a chance.
Wonderful, Jerry. That's great. Yeah, peppers. All kinds of peppers will grow.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. You too, hon. Thank you. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens and your gardening questions from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And let's see, Howie with Peterson's Nursery. Good morning. I'm so glad you're listening and you're out there. He has a orchid repotting opportunity this morning in Lakeland at Peterson's Nursery, and that it runs from 10 to 12. And if you will bring two orchids, they will repot them free for you. And so that's a great opportunity. But he also gave us this little jewel of a tip for Eileen, and that is Foshee Jewelers. That's F-O-S-H-E-E Jewelers in Lakeland. Has African violet pots.
Not only can you get bling for your arms and neck, but you can get bling for your yard and kitchen table.
Isn't that something?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. That's what I thought whenever you said that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, if anyone should know, Howie should know. And so Eileen, if you're listening, Foshee Jewelers, contact them before you go and make sure that they have them. But that's a great bit of a landscape tip from Howie and Peterson's Nursery. Howie and Karen, they have a wonderful nursery. So if you're in Lakeland, it's a great place to go to. So thank you very much. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So it's So there is a listener in Tallahassee who has an Australian tree fern that's housed in a 15-gallon pot. And would it be okay to plant my fern directly in the ground, or should it be up-potted? Up-potted, I like that phrase. And it's starting to look crowded. Well, I'm going to tell you that while we were in England, they had Australian tree ferns in the ground at some of the estates that we went to.
Really?
Tree ferns, Australian tree ferns, and also bird nest ferns. I was totally blown away by it because, you know, England and Great Britain, they're surrounded by the Gulf Stream, and there are some pockets that don't get as cold as other places, like in the Hebrides and in the, you know, the mountains of Scotland. And Australian tree fern in Tallahassee is going to freeze. It gets a little too cold there. So I would suggest that if you do plant it in the ground, that you make sure that you cover it completely every winter whenever it gets down below 45 degrees. And then that way you can ensure that it lives. Make sure it's in a protected location, which would be in the shade underneath a canopy of a tree, and or just keep it in the pot. But you can up pot it, yes, into a 30-gallon pot, and it should be able to stay there for another 10 years or so. And so I wouldn't think you need to repot it after that. It should be able to stay in the pot. But if you do plant it in the ground, just be careful, you know, just watch over it and make sure it doesn't freeze back. There's that chance.
That's going to be my new hashtag. What? Have you up-potted today?
Have you up-potted today? I love it.
There you go.
There you go. You are just a wealth of creativity.
Thank you.
And so Susan in Tallahassee says, I have a Torbay Dazzler Dracaena and other Dracaena and corn plants that, although protected, were badly damaged by the cold this winter. They're now sprouting at the base. Should I repot into smaller pots? They were about 3 feet tall and 1.5 inch in diameter before the big freeze. Okay, so here's the great thing about corn plants and dracaenas, that you can cut them off, right? You can cut the damaged portion off of the dracaena and repot it. You can stick those stems right into the ground and they will re-root again. But you can also repot from the bottom too as well. So you can cut them off the side and put them in new pots. Or you can let them be a grouping in their container. So I would make sure you cut off all the damaged portions of it. Cut it diagonally at the top, Susan. So right before the right below the damaged area, cut diagonally and it will sprout out from wherever you cut it. Okay. So, it's up to you whether you want to repot the babies in a new pot. You can, or you can just let them grow up and be a multi-grouped, dracaena in one pot. So it's all up to you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I would love to, hear from you and find out what's going on in your garden. Have you been getting much rain, or has it bypassed you? What kind of issues are you having in your yard? I would love to hear. In the next hour, I'm going to be talking about my trip. You can go on to our Facebook page and you can see the photographs of the first few places we visited and just kind of look at it. We got to see sheep. Oh, beautiful sheep. And I'm just a big fan of sheep. And they just look so natural. They were just in the gardens, outside the gardens and pasture areas. And it was just lovely. Also, too, you can go to my webpage, she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and you can look it up and send me questions. You can go to betterlawns.com and send me questions. So there's a number of different ways to get a hold of me. And so Ed in Leesburg, he wanted some plants identified, so he sent me photographs. He thought he had fruit trees. What kind of fruit tree is this, Teresa? And he thought it was figs. But when I saw the photographs, it didn't look like figs to me. And so we ultimately got some good pictures, and it was a viburnum bush that's been growing like a tree. And so it was viburnums, and then I identified an olive tree for him, an Oleo Europeana, Arbequina, And so those were really easy to do. So if you have something you need identified, you could, you know, go to our Facebook page and post it, and I could look at it there and let you know, or you can just email me directly. But the thing about it is that the plants were not doing well because he was watering every day. It's hot. And so you do not need to water plants every day, or your turf, or your shrubs, or your trees every day in Florida if they're established. Let's go to real quickly to John in Lake Nona. Good morning, John. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you very much.
I've got some oyster plants that I planted in front of Gold Mound and also in front of some Mammy Crotons.
Wonderful. That's a good choice.
Yeah, it's colorful. But periodically, the oysters are dying out here and there. I mean, it almost looks like somebody stepped on them, and they're just kind of getting a little bit yellowish color, and just falling over like a kind of like an unpeeled artichoke.
Okay. Do you have a landscape maintenance company?
Yes.
Okay, so it could be just that somebody could be stepping on them.
Well, where they're at, though, I don't think so.
Okay.
I know I've had oysters before. You pretty much put them in and leave them alone. I don't know if maybe possibly they're getting too much water and there could be cutworms.
Right.
That might make them rot.
Okay, so how often are you watering?
Well, without the rain, it's watering twice a week.
Okay, so you're just watering twice a week. But does it shut off when you get enough rain?
Yeah, the rain sensor works.
Okay, super. All right. Yeah, sometimes, you know, when we do get a lot of rain, especially over the last few weeks, we have the humidity, the rainfall, it can rot out. So I would just, you know, you can take new clippings and cut them back. If they're turning yellow, that would indicate to me too much water. But there's really nothing you can do for it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured. It might be too wet.
Lake Nona is a pretty wet area.
Yeah, I had to water a good bit at first. I put them in March, and, you know, because of the Gold Mound and the Crotons, I mean, they had to have water. I watered more than twice a week on them, and they seemed fine. It's just the oysters have just slowly, one here, one there, just kind of, you know.
Well, they're two different kinds of plants. So your chartreuse-colored Gold Mounds and also your Crotons are woody ornamentals, whereas your oysters are a little bit softer. They're a little bit more squishier. And so, you know, I definitely, you know, would just cut down on the water, and I would turn your water off for the summertime. Your plants are already established.
Okay, so the oysters don't like their feet wet. They can take drier conditions.
They can take drier conditions. Great question, John. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. And we're going to be back for our second hour. I'll be talking about my garden trip to England and talk to you a little bit, little gardens that we visited. There's little small ones and also the big estates. We're also going to be taking your gardening questions. I'd like to thank Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist, for he has a wonderful native and fruit tree nursery. And he is really giving us great advice about, you know, citrus trees. They do need the proper nutrition, so we'd like to thank him for that. So Lizzie and I would love for you to follow Better Lawns and Gardens on our Facebook page and give our gardening show 5 stars. We would appreciate it so much. And again, if you'd like to send in a question, you can do it like Marie did in Tallahassee, and you can do it through Facebook or betterlawns.com, or you can call me in the next hour, and we can help you with your gardening issues. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and summitresponsiblesolutions.com, I'm Teresa Watkins. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.